Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
How should we deal with the distribution of Holy Communion? Should we stop shaking hands at the sign of peace? Should we take the holy water out of the holy water fonts as soon as the flu season begins?
That's Roman Catholic Bishop Mitchell Rosansky of Baltimore asking some very straightforward questions in the face of the outbreak of the swine flu. For Roman Catholics, there are an awful lot of points of contact, maybe even hot zones, and then for other Christians as well, on Sunday morning. Have you knelt at the communion rail, and as the chalice passes by, you say to yourself, swine flu. I mean, if it was just anything else, if it was cold and flu season in any other year, you might not think about it, but swine flu. Should there be some change in, at least temporarily, some change in worship practices, not only how we commune, but also how we greet one another, perhaps holy water distribution, those kind of things? The practices vary, but the contact is all the same. And doctors are telling us this is a place where the disease can spread. Should we make change in practice to accommodate the swine flu? It's Audio Open Lines, this last half hour of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Are you less likely to drink from the chalice at communion? Should churches stop shaking hands at the sign of the peace? Should Roman Catholics stop placing holy water in a baptismal font at the front of the church and then dipping their hands in as they go or as they come to church? 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Those are my questions. I'd like your answers. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can always Twitter us @issuesetc. Yesterday, I was distributing communion, and in the course of that, thoughts run through your mind. I was thinking to myself, you know, this is not only the cusp of flu season, but we have swine flu on the horizon nowadays, a very serious thing that is killing people, and they say it's going to spread. And maybe is this one of the ways that it can spread? I'm thinking to myself, but this is the Lord's Supper. And yet I have a chalice in my hand, one common cup for people to drink from. And I think I noticed fewer people drinking from the chalice. They took the individual cup option. And maybe that has something to do with the flu or the swine flu. So as you listen to this story from National Public Radio, think about it. Give me a call should some of our practices temporarily change in the face of the swine flu. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter us @issuesetc.
Schools, we know, are welcoming environments for swine flu. So too are houses of worship. The rituals and warm handshakes make them fertile ground for virus transmission. That's forcing religious leaders to rethink how they carry out their services, as NPR's Barbara Bradley Haggerty reports.
Let's take a tour of a Catholic church through the eyes of the H1N1 virus. Stop number one, the font with holy water near the church entrance. It's a great place for the virus to leap from one person to another, says Bishop Mitch Rosansky of Baltimore.
If someone has the germ on their hand, dips it into the holy water font, people come after them and dip their hands into it, the germ can be spread that way.
Next stop, the passing of the peace, when people shake hands, another favorite place for the virus. And then there's communion.
He broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take this, all of you, and eat it."
The priest puts the host or wafer on a parishioner's tongue or into his hand, then does the same for the next person. Often, he then serves wine from a common cup. It's wiped clean each time, but that is no guarantee it's virus-free. Bishop Rosansky says these rituals have prompted a flood of questions.
how should we deal with the distribution of Holy Communion? Should we stop shaking hands at the sign of peace? Should we take the holy water out of the holy water fonts as soon as the flu season begins?
Right now, he's just asking priests to use lots of hand sanitizer. But the bishop says a word from health officials that a pandemic has started would trigger all of these precautions and could lead him to shut down churches.
So I want to know from you, we'll hear a little bit more from NPR in just a moment, not only Christian churches, but synagogues and mosques as well are considering changing some practices. The bishop there said perhaps even shut down some churches. What do you think? Should your church at least temporarily change its communion practice, the practice of sharing the peace, suspend the use of the common cup, or warn people about the use of the common cup? Should the pastor wear surgical gloves? I mean, nowadays, when you walk into the average kitchen in a restaurant and they're doing food prep, they usually are wearing some kind of surgical gloves. You expect the girl who makes your sub sandwich for you when you go to the local place to put on the plastic gloves before she makes your sandwich for you. Reasonable precautions. What about church? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us on this Monday afternoon, the 21st of September, as we talk about worship practice, communion practice, and the swine flu at issuesetc.
Like Bishop Rozanski, Rabbi Moshe Waldux at Temple Beth Zion in Brookline, Massachusetts, has been thinking about swine flu a lot lately. The High Holy Days begin Friday, and he expects about 900 people at services. He'll ask his congregants to greet each other a little differently this year.
Bowing to each other in a sort of a little Buddhist bow, or the Obama fist pump could really be very good.
And what about passing the Torah around the congregation? Some people kiss it, while others touch their prayer shawls to it.
I might say before we walk around with it, if you have any concerns about stuff, maybe this year offer a wave instead of a kiss. I'm sure the Torah will understand.
Allahu Akbar.
For Muslims, Friday prayers are the centerpiece of the faith and a potential viral hotbed. Imam Johari Abdul Malik of Dar al-Hijra Islamic Center in Falls Church, Virginia, says 3,000 people come to worship there each week.
They stand shoulder to shoulder. They put their faces on the carpet and remember someone's going to come behind them and prostrate with their face on the carpet.
Malik says if flu breaks out, the leaders may ask people to bring their own prayer rugs. They may tell people to spread out more when they pray. And they might amend the ritual cleansing before prayer, in which people visit a special washroom where they gargle and wash their feet. The imam says people are loath to change these rituals because they're so deeply rooted in the Quran.
How do you now convince them that what they used to do is now not permissible?
For example, he says, the Quran says when two believers shake hands in greeting, their sins fall away. Some people may feel cheated of blessing if they have to stop that practice.
Nobody wants to shake your hand. Nobody's going to embrace you. You start saying, what's going on? What kind of place is this? Where's the blessings? And you have to say, today the blessing is in resisting shaking hands.
The imam says his job is to show believers that the Quran allows for extraordinary measures to protect life, and God will pour blessing on those who sacrifice their own worship for the good of others. Barbara Bradley Haggerty, NPR News.
So where do you come down on this? I mean, especially from the Christian perspective. On a Sunday morning, you gather together, you're all in one place. That in and of itself is a bit of a risk factor in the time of swine flu. And then the contact gets even closer. Perhaps there's an embrace, perhaps they're shaking hands. And then there's the communion rail with a common cup. Should that be suspended during swine flu time? I mean, some would say it just doesn't make any sense to all drink from the same cup when someone here might have the swine flu and pass it along to the rest of us. I want to hear from you. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. It's audio open lines this Monday afternoon, the 21st of September. We're talking about the swine flu and communion practice, worship practice. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. Christine is listening in Nebraska. Hi, Christine.
Hello. I was wanting to comment on the communion. I went through adult confirmation, and my pastor told me that the alcohol content in the wine mixed with the precious metal created a sterile environment so that, you know, germs weren't passed from one person to the other. So there was a protection in that, not only to say it's, you know, the body and blood of Christ, but so I don't think we should, you know, change our practices other than to, you know, continue to use general hygiene, washing your hands before church, washing your hands after church. You know, I know that my husband, who's a pastor, you know, washes his hands before and after, and I think it's a good practice, you know, for everyone to do that.
Christine, thank you very much. What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. Heather in Granite City, Illinois says, I do partake of communion via the chalice, that is the common cup. However, if I were ill, I would take the individual cup out of consideration for the other communicants who follow me. 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. Now, I've heard, I've never read any peer-reviewed studies about germ propagation and the communion chalice, but I have heard popularly from pastors and lay people, yes, if you have the gold lining the cup, many of these are lined with both gold or silver, and then you have the high alcohol content of communion wine, it is usually a little more robust than the average rosé. The chance of any kind of germ making it through is negligible. That's a very scientific answer, isn't it? I mean, it's the kind of answer where you'd say, well, it's not risky. What if it still were? What if we couldn't show through studies, and I don't know if the studies even exist, to tell you the truth, what if we couldn't show through studies that germs are less likely to propagate there in the common cup? What if there were a real risk and we couldn't show otherwise? Would you change your practice? 1-877-623-6943. It's audio open lines. This Monday afternoon, September the 21st, it's swine flu time, and some are wondering whether we should change all of our communion practices, some of them, in order to keep people safer. 1-877-623-6943.
Fever in the morning, a fever all through the night. Everybody's got the fever.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
The leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. Stay informed. Read the new broadcast transcripts on this subject. You'll find them at the top of the on-demand page at issuesetc.org. These transcripts are a must-read for every layperson and pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Issuesetc.org. Click on demand.
Treadmill for the mind. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Historic liturgy. Cool. Liturgical dance. Not cool. Kneeling for the Lord's body and blood on a Sunday morning. Cool. Sitting in your theater-style seat with cup holder for your double mocha latte. Not cool. We're the Brothers of John the Steadfast. If you're interested in traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice, check us out, www.steadfastlutherans.com.
You are my soul. When you hear the words new music for your congregation, do you automatically think of mindless praise music? Well, think again. Liturgy Solutions has new compositions for all seasons of the church year that are firmly grounded in the Reformation truths of Christ for us in Word and Sacrament. Check us out on the web at www.liturgysolutions.com. At Liturgy Solutions, we don't do worship, we're deep into liturgy. www.liturgysolutions.com.
At St. Jude's Church, they're no longer sharing wine from the same chalice. The handshake that signals a sign of peace has been replaced by many with a bow and a smile. And after every Mass, each pew gets wiped down.
We asked them not to shake hands anymore, but they all did it because they understand it.
That's an excerpt from a CBS News story on swine flu and worship practices. Do you think that your church should do away with the common cup temporarily when swine flu is a risk for everyone? Do you think that the handshake that is passing the peace should be eliminated at least temporarily? Other worship practices perhaps modified in the direction of reducing the risk of communicating the swine flu? 1-877-623-6943. You can Twitter us at IssuesETC or email us talkback@issuesetc.org. talkback@issuesetc.org. Here's Sally calling from her car. Hi, Sally.
Hi, Pastor Todd. Well, I'm a nurse and also a Christian, and what I would say is people don't get it. Why would, and particularly with communion, why would God give something that harms us when he's giving us his good gift, that is, his body and blood? So I have no qualms about using the common cup, and in fact, some ways you're at less risk with the common cup than you are with the little plastic or glass jiggers, because those came out. People touch the rims of those. They're hard to fill and handle, and it's more likely somebody to get germs on those, as well as I remember when a lot of the Lutheran churches went to the little individual cups back in the 80s because of the HIV scare, and I don't know of one confirmed case of somebody getting AIDS from taking communion. I will say, though, that hand washing, and if you're sick, you shouldn't be going to church, and, you know, there's those kind of things I'm okay with. I also think about your NPR pieces. You got to look at who's reporting, and NPR tends to be liberal and find things on the extreme.
Sally, thank you very much. Although I think their report on the communion practice was simply factual. They were just asking the various religious communities that they came across what they were doing with regard to their worship practices, and they didn't isolate it to Christian churches, but also talked about Jewish synagogues and mosques. Do you agree or disagree with Sally? Is there a, in a sense, kind of a divine exception for the reception of the Lord's Supper? God wouldn't allow anything to harm us when we take the Lord's Supper for our good. Does it essentially provide some sort of immunity because it comes from the Lord's Supper? 1-877-623-6943. talkback@issuesetc.org. Here's Tim calling from his car. Hi, Tim.
I think churches should ultimately serve communion however they want, and people need to use their judgment on whether or not they want to use the common cup or not. I personally have always used the individual cups ever since the moment I was confirmed. That's just my personal preference on how I want to take the wine. And also, I have to respectfully disagree that you can that God will prohibit you from getting sick. I think if there's germs on that cup, you know, you will get sick or possibly could get sick.
Tim, thank you very much. Here is Kathy in St. Charles. Hi, Kathy.
Yeah, hi. I think people should just be concerned for their neighbor. If they're sick, stay home. And why is it so important that we change stuff at church? I mean, you know, there's people can get sick all kinds of places, and church is just one of the places we can get sick. I think that the common cup or the individual cups, you can get germs from both, and I don't think you're protected necessarily just because God is giving us a good gift. God gives us good gifts in children, and that doesn't mean that they turn out perfect. God gives us all kinds of good gifts, but we still live in a fallen world. So I don't think, you know, it's magic that, you know, you drink out of this cup and everything's going to be fine. There's never any harm that will come to you. But, I just think you got to use some common sense and be concerned about your neighbor. If you're sick, stay home.
Kathy, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in St. Charles. Scott in Illinois writes, I don't think anybody has ever been able to point to a specific chalice or font as a carrier for sickness in the history of pathological science. I'm not sure if the change of practice is necessary despite scientific discoveries. It has rarely done harm. For example, thousands of pregnant women have taken communion wine during the pregnancy and not dealt with fetal alcohol syndrome, despite the fact that only one molecule of alcohol needs to cross the placenta to make that happen. Jesus knew sickness and suffering, suffered bodily with us men. And in this case, I'm reminded of the line from the famous hymn, "When I come to the Holy Supper during seasons of illness, let us suffer here with Jesus and with patience bear our cross. Joy will follow all our sadness. Where he is, there is no loss. Though today we sow no laughter, we shall reap celestial joy. All discomforts that annoy shall give way to mirth hereafter. Jesus, here I share your woe. Help me there your joy to know. Thanks, Scott. Thanks for listening in Illinois. What about you? Do you think the Christian churches should change their worship practices in light of the swine flu virus? 1-877-623-6943. Talkback at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. 1-877-623-6943. Now, Jeff handed me during the break the 1998 statement by the Centers for Disease Control. Within a CDC, a consensus of the National Center for Infectious Diseases and the National Center for Human Immunodeficiency Virus and other things, says that there is a theoretical risk of transmitting infectious diseases by using a common cup exists, but that the risk is so small that it is undetectable. They say that bacteria and viruses can contaminate a common cup and survive despite the alcohol content of the wine, and then they urge all sorts of sensible precautions. But they do say that the risk is so small that it cannot be detected, and that the studies they've done have never shown any definite link by way of risk between frequent communion from a common cup and those who don't commune. Kurt in Arkansas says, swine flu has reared its head here in central Arkansas. I visited an LCMS church in Cabot this last Sunday and noticed the absence of the common cup. I've always used the common cup and wouldn't shy away from it now, but it isn't. But isn't the wonderful gift of forgiveness of sins delivered even in a small individual cup, just as in a common cup? That's a very good point, by the way, Kurt. Does Jesus require that the cup be of a certain size or configuration, or that everyone drink from it in order for him to deliver the forgiveness of sins? I'm thankful for Jesus' sacrifice, knowing that my sins are forgiven, says Kurt in Arkansas. Veronica says, I refuse to take our Lord's blood from anything other than the chalice. We are promised blessing, and I believe that even if I did die from an infection, I would still be blessed because I would be with my Lord and Savior. Individual cups do not belong at the communion table. But I would respond here just briefly to Veronica saying, yes, but Christ also counsels us and commands us to use one bread, too. I haven't seen many churches doing the one bread thing in a couple centuries since they invented the wafers. And somehow the church got used to that. Let's not go so far as to say that the Lord's body and blood are somehow, or the validity of this thing, or the gifts delivered are somehow blocked by the, the size of the cup. Wanda writes, if I were to get anything else with Jesus' body and blood, oh well, I'm not afraid. He's watching over me. Still time for your thoughts. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Talkback at issuesetc.org is our in-studio email address. Twitter us at issuesetc. We had some good news at Issues Etc. We found out that Thrivent Financial for Lutherans is willing to match 50 cents on the dollar that you donate to Lutheran Public Radio up to a gift of $300. That means a check for $300 would ultimately render to Issues Etc. $450 with the match of 50 cents on the dollar. You can fill out the Giving Plus gift form at the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Mail it with your check to Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Here's the address again, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. David says, I don't think that we have a guarantee that we won't get a virus from the chalice. But I will still say that I have not received anything but blessing from my Lord's blood, receiving it with faith in these words given and shed for you for the remission of sins. If I catch a bug and physically die from it, well, have I lost anything? For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. My body may go to the grave, but only until Christ returns to bring me to the goal he has prepared for me. Thank you very much, David. You know, I understand the concerns. The one thing I don't think we should do as Christians is simply dismiss the concerns as a lack of faith, a lack of trust in Christ's words. People have concerns about this. Everyone here, regardless of their opinion on the chalice, said that if you're sick, stay home. Why? You're going there to receive the blessings of God. How could anything bad happen to you? But we've all come away from a crowded Sunday morning, whether we communed or not, and realized I caught it from somebody. There is no guarantee the gathering together to receive Christ's gifts. Unless you can show me a Bible passage that says gathering together to receive Christ's gifts in the preached word or in the sacrament somehow makes us temporarily immune to the results of the fall and to the illnesses that go along with them, we have no guarantee. But think of the things we do have guarantees of in that preached word. Why, if you're sick, you stay home, but you say, I'm going back as soon as I'm well. Why? Out of consideration and love for your neighbor, you don't want to make your neighbor sick. And when you go to the Lord's table, whether your conscience says, I should refrain from the chalice, or say, I will still receive the chalice, we still do things out of love for neighbor and trusting in Christ's word that what is in that cup, even if we get sick from it, is still for the forgiveness of our sins. Tomorrow we'll discuss the Quran with Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.